that's garage.
Who is that guy on that phone? You know, that's the guy that answers the phone that you absolutely do not want to talk to, you know? The guy that you always, you know, when you call a place and you think, oh, I hope I don't have to talk to that guy. That is the guy that answers the phone whenever I call a place. He's the same guy that has to ask the same question you ask him of somebody else, you know, like, when are the jigger bobs coming in? And just a minute, I'll just ask someone else, when's the jigger bobs coming in? And of course, anyway, so that's, who is that guy? Well, this is the Faye Driver. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Pink Wheel Nuts Garage. We have a long list of guests with me today. And let's see who I've got first. A first-timer on the Pink Wheel Nuts Garage, it's Ranger John from the Dark Forest podcast. Hello, Ranger John.
Hey, Faye.
How are you doing?
Very well, thanks.
Do you know the answer to my secret quiz that I asked you in my last show by any chance? Did you hear my last show?
I did, but I don't remember the question. What was it?
What was the song that I was playing? What was the piece of music that I was playing?
Oh, no, I don't. I'm kind of ignorant about a lot of pop music.
No, it was classical.
It was classical.
No.
Oh, John, I'm so disappointed. I thought you would know just without even thinking about it. Oh, well. Maybe you
guess,
didn't.
I'm going to guess Beethoven.
Well, actually, maybe you didn't hear that. Maybe you're not hearing the right episode, John.
Could play it now, and I'll tell you.
Oh, I don't know if I can do that. Oh, that's you're putting me on the spot, man.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, don't worry about it. You listen to episode 134 and get back to me about what was on it. How about that?
When did you post that episode?
Just yesterday morning, I think.
Oh no, then I haven't listened because I was on my way from Boston to North Carolina yesterday.
Yeah, we're going to talk to you a little later on about all your all the characters you have in your show. You've got places, different people in your show, and they all sort of play a part on your podcast. I want to talk to you about that a little later.
Cool.
But let me introduce another first-timer on the Pink Wheel Nuts Garage. It's George in Atlanta. Hello, George.
Howdy.
How are you doing today?
I'm peachy. How are you?
I see you had to work a half day or something.
You know, we just work and work and work our guts out until we can't stand it any longer.
So are you going to get a day off on Monday then?
No, there will be no day off Monday. But I've worked like 3 weekends in a row, so I have no problem taking a half day off here and there.
Oh, that's good. Good for you. And let me get the last person into the mix here, Mark the Laughing Buddha. Hello, Mark. How are you tonight?
Hello, Faye. I am slipping into a nice dry martini.
Oh, me too. Speak. Sorry.
Excellent.
So, are you both having the traditional dry traditional martini?
Actually, I am drinking what is called a silver bullet martini, which is half vodka, half gin. And of course, it's dirty. And it has garlic, stuffed olives, and cocktail onions.
You've talked about these garlic stuffed olives before. They must be a favorite.
They are.
What about you, Ranger John? What's your mix?
I'm just having a simple vodka martini with a twist.
I see. George, are you imbibing tonight?
I am. I am having a Sky and cranberry.
Ooh.
Oh, you know what? That's what I'm... I'm not having Sky, but I'm having some other vodka with cranberry and tonic water, actually.
I do enjoy a little tonic water.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm happy to hear that Mark's Silver Bullet Martini does not include Coors Light dumped into gin.
Oh, heavens. That's a travesty. I couldn't do that to gin.
You said Silver Bullet, and I was scared immediately.
Well, I didn't mean to frighten you, George.
Okay.
Can I ask what everybody's favorite vodka is?
I like Sobieski's.
Hmm.
And why is that?
Well, I think it's Polish. I'm not sure. Or is it Sobieski's?
Mm-hmm.
Does it have a red? Yeah. Is it sort of in a clear bottle with red writing?
Yes, it has a red, lovely label and all kinds of, you know, Soviet constructivist art on it. It's good stuff.
I've seen the bottle. I haven't tasted it, though.
I've been recently drinking Finlandia.
Yeah.
And for a couple of reasons, I usually have the blue bottle. You know, the guys that make all the flavored vodkas, the really trendy one right now. I can't think of it at the moment. Ocean or... anyway, it doesn't matter. But I've been looking for a vodka that's got just a little bit more bite to it. You know, I like the Finlandia because it's got that sort of traditional harsh edge on it.
So you like it rough is what you're saying.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, I have to find exactly what makes me have zero headache on Saturday morning or Sunday morning, and for me that seems to be Skyy. But although from a marketing standpoint I love Absolut. Has anyone seen their latest commercial for the Greyhound?
That's the one I'm talking about, Absolut.
Oh my god.
I do a lot of flavors, yes.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah. Have you seen the Greyhound commercial? It's all sort of like animatronic Greyhound dogs racing in the desert.
Yes.
Very futuristic.
With the very sexy models in it, too.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Love it.
Love that.
Ranger John, what's your vodka of choice?
My favorite. I have two. One is Kettle One. Mm-hmm. And I think even better than that, I like this Icelandic vodka called Reyka. R-E-Y-K-A. Mm. And I like it for the opposite reason that, Faye, that you like the bite, because it's really very smooth. It's neutral. It doesn't have any kind of peppery taste or... it's just neutral.
Hmm.
So I like it for that reason.
Hmm. Good. Okay, well, let's get started on the show. We've got kind of a lot to get through. Before we do anything, though, I just want to congratulate a couple people on the new cars that they bought. One of them being Big Fatty, of course. We've all heard about the Big Fatty Ford Escape that he bought. So congratulations to Big Fatty on that. And someone else who got a new car was, maybe not many of you people listen, but I'm encouraging you to check out the Grits to Glitz girls, gritstoglitz.com. And Bay from Grits to Glitz got herself a brand new Prius V, the newer Prius hybrid car. So
was Bay the one in Vegas, or was she the one on the call from Pride 48 last year?
Yeah, Bay was on the call, and she's in Tennessee, Knoxville, Tennessee.
Yes.
So she's got a new car for herself. Oh my God, I got all kinds of noise going on here. Sorry about that. So congratulations, you guys. Now, here in Vancouver, we're actually having, this week is the Vancouver International Auto Show. So I took advantage of the auto show, and I went down there yesterday, in fact, and I went and looked at both. I wasn't able to see the Prius V because I couldn't find it, but I went and I looked at Big Fatty's Ford Escape. And I also went and looked at Archer's, or sorry, Paul's Ford Focus Titanium. Both very, very nice cars.
Did Big Fatty get the Escape Hybrid, or?
No, it's just the standard Escape.
Uh-huh.
I'm just putting some pictures of what I took in into the chat room, the Pride 48 chat room. You guys, if you're listening to this podcast now, this will be an enhanced podcast, so there will be pictures if you look at your iPod, you'll see pictures of what we're talking about. I'll try to put the pictures of the cars up that we're talking about. So I just dropped in a picture of the Ford Escape. So if you are with us live tonight in Pride 48 at pride48.com, go to the Pride 48 chat room, get yourself logged in, and you'll see the pictures that I'm going to post there. I'll just quickly go through who's in the chat room right now. We've got Casey in Denver is joining us, and Toppy Smelly. Hello. Ranger John, Toppy wanted me to say hello to you from him.
Hey, Toppy.
So he's there as well, and so is Mib NJSM2K or something like that. I don't know who that person is. So welcome to the people in the chat room. So now let me get to some business. Way back when, about a month ago, in the last Pink Wheelnut's Garage show, we were talking about the Fiat 500, and we were sort of comparing that to the smart car, the Smart 4.2 car, which is, I just dropped a picture of that in the chat room as well. And a good listener of mine, Kyle in Hawaii, actually owns one of these Smart 4.2 cars. Wow. And he sent me a very good, very long email about his car. So I'd like to, if you'll indulge me, people everywhere listening and my friends who are on the call with me here, I'd just like to read out this what Kyle in Hawaii sent me about his car. It's really quite interesting. So you can see the car in the on your iPod if you're following along, or in iTunes, or you can look in the chat room to see what this car is like. So here we go. I own a smart car and did thorough research into it. I commute quite a bit around the island and needed a dependable, fuel-efficient car that was safe. So he rode one in California when he was there, and then he bought one when they came to the island. Maui is his island in Hawaii. So he bought the Passion Coupe model, which is the middle-range model. He says they have shitty roads over here with big, gigantic potholes. It doesn't like those big potholes. Now, this is an automated manual transmission, which was hard to figure out at first. Blah, 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 blah. I figured out fairly quick. It has an automatic mode, which, since I don't know how to drive stick, worked great for me, but there are paddles on the steering wheel used to shift up or down in manual mode, and you can switch from manual to automatic very easily using these paddles. Okay, so when you use the stick shift, you can put it into manual mode. You push forward for shifting up and back for shifting down. You can use the left paddle on the steering wheel for shifting down and the right paddle for shifting up. The display prompts you with suggestions when you should shift up and when to shift down. And if you do it in time while braking, it will shift for you. So there's no clutch. You get to hang with no clutch, and you get the hang of when to lift your foot off the gas pedal and depressing it again for acceleration, which is assisting the shifting process. So I guess it has some sort of not quite standard transmission, sort of automatic transmission that shifts when, as you sort of have to, I guess, force the shift, if you will. So you accelerate when you want to shift, you let off the pedal, this thing will shift for you, and then you can accelerate again. Really interesting. So what else? He goes on with the random accelerator, braking for deceleration. It has hill assist, so it'll lock the car in place when you're on a hill before you accelerate, so it doesn't roll back into the car behind you. It was $14,000. And front wheels, rear wheels, and rear wheels. Parking is super simple. He gets 35 to 50 miles per gallon, depending on traffic. He has heated seats, plenty of cargo space, and the seats fold down flat if he needs it. The compartment in the back to store stuff. That's about it. So I was really interested to hear about that car. I didn't realize they had that sort of interesting semi-manual automatic transmission. So thank you very much, Kyle, for writing in about all that. I appreciate it. Very interesting little car. So the one I put in the chat room is a car that I saw at the Vancouver International Auto Show.
Faye, you lost Mark on Skype.
Oh, thank you. Okay, I'll get him back. Thanks, Kyle. Thanks for writing in about that.
I don't understand the seats folding down. I thought there were just two seats, like the driver's seat and the pad. Why would you fold the seat down if you were driving?
Well, no, I guess you can fold the passenger seat down if you need room to load stuff into. So the passenger seat will fold flat, and then you can pile a bunch of crap on top of it.
Yeah. They're super small. They're crazy small.
Extremely small. I was, but I sat in it, and as long as you don't look behind you, it feels like a normal car. But you're right at the back window, you know. It's very, very odd indeed.
Do people drive those on interstates, you know, expressways, sort of major roads?
Oh, sure.
Oh, yeah, they're quite capable of doing, you know, highway speeds, I think. And I don't know.
Don't they have a pretty good crash test record, too, safety record?
Yeah, they're very uniquely designed in that they have basically a cage, a roll cage around, the whole car is designed around this cage, which is meant to protect the occupants. So they're actually quite safe, despite their small appearing size. So I think they're not a bad car. Just give me a second here. I got to get Mark back here. Hang on a sec, guys.
I've, there's a few of these cars that park in the garage downtown where I work, and it's it's really shameful, but I, you know, I'll round a corner trying to find the perfect place to park at 7:30 in the morning, and I think I found the perfect spot, and I actually turn in and I'm almost running over this little car because it's taking up like a third of the parking spot. You can't actually see it before you turn in. It's funny. Anyway.
So you guys, you fellows with other podcasts, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about your shows a bit. Ranger John from the Dark Forest. Can you tell us a little bit about how you came up with this Dark Forest marketing project?
Well, no, it's really pretty simple. It took me, what's more interesting, I think, the more interesting question is the process of deciding to do a podcast. Because my partner, Kenty, had been doing a podcast for, I don't know, 2 or 3 years, and I was listening to his show and some of the shows that he was listening to. And at first, I thought it was dumb. Like, the whole idea was really dumb.
Mm-hmm.
And gradually, I got more and more interested, and I got to the point where I wanted to do a show myself. And when I got to that point, the name of the show just popped into my mind.
So what's the connotation of the darkness in the forest? And can you talk about that a little bit?
I don't even know. I think I don't know.
Really, eh? Just poof, it came to you, the Dark Forest.
It just came to me. I like the woods. I like to walk in the woods. I like the way the light filters through the trees when I walk through the woods.
Mm-hmm. And you're quite a birder too, right? I mean, you and your partner go off birding a lot too, don't you?
Yep, we do. In fact, today we went today.
So, and can you tell us a little bit about, you know, you've got Dark Forest North, Dark Forest South, and then there's Ranger X. We haven't heard from Ranger X for quite some time. Is everything okay with him?
Yeah, everything's okay with him. Okay. Everything's okay with him. The Dark Forest North, I live half of the time, I live in Rockport, Massachusetts. That's the Dark Forest North. And the other half of the time, I live in Durham, North Carolina. And that's the Dark Forest South.
Mm-hmm.
And Ranger X was doing weekly, you know, frequent segments in the Dark Forest. And then some things happened to him. His mom had a stroke, a bad stroke.
Right.
He fell in love.
Oh.
And he's got a boyfriend, and so he's got a lot less time. And so he's now decided that he's going to do an occasional segment, but not a regular contributor.
Well, we'll look forward to having him back and hope everything works out for him. I knew he was having some family issues to deal with there.
Yeah.
So,
go ahead. Sorry.
George, I was going to say, George, what's the derivation of your George in Atlanta name? How long did you work on that one?
Clearly not very long. you know, in all honesty, I just knew that, you know, I wanted to sort of experiment with the podcasting world. There's a slim chance that it may cross over into sort of my business work, you know, my professional life. And I just wanted some time to experiment and play and understand. And, you know, I started with Gay Country Wes on his show on Pride 48 on Sunday nights at 8 o'clock, The Life of a Gay Country Boy. And so it sort of evolved from that to sort of, well, let me experiment on my own. So I've been doing these audio boos. For those who don't know, the Audio Boo is a UK company that basically sort of packages it all up for you. You just sort of subscribe. They're noted for a free 5-minute account. There's a ton of people who just sort of subscribe and put five-minute messages out there. And you can upgrade your account, which I did, to a 30-minute account. And, you know, quite frankly, I didn't put a lot of time and effort into it. George in Atlanta just sort of, you know, generic enough to, until I figure out exactly what it is I want to do moving forward. So, yeah.
Right. Yeah. Well, we love it. Okay, I'm going to try, just going to try Mark back again. He says he's ready here. So let's see if we can get him connected.
George, are you still doing the audio boo, or do you have another way to...
No, I still do the audio boo. It's George in Atlanta, and actually, you know, I've kind of sort of cheated and engaged a lot of the other methods that folks do. I bought a URL, georgeinatlanta.com, and it's connected to a WordPress blog, which is georgeinatlanta.wordpress.com. But if you just go to georgeinatlanta.com, it'll bounce you there, and then I just load my audio boo links there. So it's kind of a podcast, but it's not all the hard work that a lot of folks have in terms of worrying about their feed and their hosting and all that. It's sort of the lazy man's way out. So, but you know, for right now, it suffices because it's just the level of engagement I want to have.
Good.
And you're doing You're still doing a couple of different variations of your show, right? We've got the music, your Saturday night music show.
Yeah, on Saturdays, until somebody busts me for breaking copyright laws, you know, on Saturdays, I try and post a 30-minute segment of just music I call Radio George. And it's sort of the whole theme is music you've heard in a mix that you may not have heard before. So, yeah, pop and, you know, pop and light rock, R&B, that kind of stuff. It's fun. I enjoy it.
And I enjoy it too, actually. One of my most favorite music mixes. There's a lot of competition. There's a lot of guys doing music mixes. Laughing Buddha, Mark, if we could get him back, he does his own lounge music. And, of course, Ranger John puts out music of different variations as well, don't you, Ranger John?
Yeah.
You have quite a wide-ranging taste in music, don't you?
Well, I think it seems to be wide-ranging. I'm not sure how wide-ranging it is. I like classical music, and I like hip-hop.
Right.
Wow.
Both a lot. And, you know, Broadway a little bit, too, and... Sometimes I choose the music based on what's going on in the show. Like if there's a theme in the show, I just go onto iTunes Store and look for something that's related to that theme and pick it. And that could be, you know, whatever kind of music. But the music that gets to me is classical and hip hop.
Hello.
All right. Oh, there he is, folks. I've got Mark.
Yeah, I switched devices, so we're on the iPad now, so hopefully everyone can hear me.
Well, I can hear you. Good. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Thank God for the iPad.
That's right. I mean, Apple products just work.
It's ultra absorbent.
Mark, we were just talking about how we named our podcasts. And so I'm going to throw it to you now. What is up with the Laughing Buddha? How did you come up? What is with this name of the Laughing Buddha?
Oh, it goes way back to 1991 on a 2400 baud dial-up Citadel bulletin board service.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
that my friends were on, and I've always been kind of round, and I've had an Eastern philosophical mindset, and a friend of mine says, you know, you look like Hote. Now, Hote is what is called the Laughing Buddha, and if you've seen a Buddha statue with the Buddha holding his palms up above his head with a big fat smile on his face, that's the Laughing Buddha. And actually, the Laughing Buddha is also in the Shinto Japanese religion, the god of luck and wisdom in contentment. And so that's basically, you know, it kind of stuck. And, you know, it's said that if you rub the Buddha's belly for luck, you'll have good luck. So it kind of stuck. And I decided to keep it. And the Scooter Diaries is a name that I had for an idea for a blog that never happened, and basically just kind of morphed into a podcast. So that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
And you've actually had the Viper out too, haven't you? You've had some sunny weather.
I've put on probably over 150 miles so far this year.
Really? This year?
This year. It is so unseasonably warm here in St. Paul. I can't believe it. So on the weekends, I'm out tootling around, and this week I started taking it back and forth to work, which is only 3.25 miles away from my house. So it's been amazing so far.
Well, good. I'm happy to hear it. We just had like 2 days of sun here in Vancouver, and you know, I've lived in Vancouver for almost 15 years now. Maybe 14. I'm really bad with time, but anyway, and I was always one of those guys going, "Come on, you know, everyone's really down about the rain in this town, right? Because it rains all the time." And I was always one of those people who was saying, "Come on, it's not so bad. It's only for a short time." And I was always very positive about the rain until this year. Finally, this year, it got me. It hit me. And now I hate the rain. I'm down on it, and I don't want to see the rain ever again. So
how many days of rain do you have there in an average week, Finn?
Well, in the winter time, which should have ended 2 months ago by my recollection, in the winter time it could rain, you know, 4 or 5 days a week or more. But here, now, by about March, February or March, it should have stopped raining and either gotten really cold or just rain every once in a while. But that is not the case. It's been raining. I think it rained probably 25 out of the 30 days of March, or 31 days of March. So I've had it. I'm done with rain.
I actually have Vancouver bookmarked on my weather, the Weather Channel app that I have. So I always check in to see, oh, gee, what kind of weather is Faye going to be dealing with, and musing Mark, you know, right. Mark from Canada.
Yeah.
So
we're both standing here with our umbrellas out.
Yes.
Okay, well, let's move on here. I want to talk about tires, because I had quite an interesting experience this last week. I got to take my little sports car to the racetrack, and was driving my little car around like a maniac. I just plopped a picture of the red sports car in the chat room there, and that dog in there is Max the dog. If anyone's
Max the Wonder Dog?
It is, yes.
What kind of dog is Max?
Well, we're not entirely sure. He's a border collie, and I think he has some blue heeler in him as well, and maybe a bit of I don't know, I think possibly Greyhound or something. He's a very fast runner, or he loves to run, and he runs really well. So, and he's extremely smart, being a border collie.
Yeah.
But anyway, he's a great dog, lovable dog. So, I just had to show off there, Max now,
what,
the dog.
What car is that?
This is what I call the Deliverator.
Man, that's a pretty car.
But in reality, it's a Chrysler Crossfire. So here's what happened. Now, firstly, the tires that I had on this car, on the front wheels are smaller than the rear wheels on this car, okay? They're two different sizes. So on the front of this car, I had these really old tires that I was purposely wearing down to nothing, because I didn't want to put my racing tires on, because I have these very good, very sticky, extremely expensive racing tires that I put on this car on the front, and I don't really want to wear them out, so I wear my other tires out as much as I can. Okay, so finally it's time to put on the racing tires. The problem is one of my lug nuts, the lug nuts on this car, each wheel has a locking wheel nut.
Are they pink?
No. Oh. They are not. But the lug nuts on one of my tires had fused. It had rusted. The nuts had rusted and basically frozen up on the rim, right?
Yeah, and I hate rusted nuts.
Yeah.
That's bad.
I like roasted nuts.
So being a lock nut, it has a special key, and you have to, you know, it's a stupid little thing. The key, little key goes into the notch on the lug nut in just a certain specific way, and all these things are very soft, and if you reef on them too hard, you end up stripping the key and the lug nut, and it turned into a big horrific mess because I couldn't get this one tire off to do the tire swap on it. So I ended up taking it to three separate stores, tire shops, to see if they could get it off. Well, finally, the third guy, they were able to mangle the nut and get the nut off. They worked on it for about 3 hours. In the process,
They busted that nut.
They busted that nut, yep. They also damaged the rim a little bit too, which is fine. I was perfectly aware that was going to be the outcome, given the state of this stupid lug nut. Anyway, so I got the wheel off, I got my racing tires on, and off I go to the racetrack. Now, John, before we get into my racetrack experience, I know you were going shopping for tires for your car, and I'm wondering if you want to tell us about that. Firstly, tell us what car you have and what your tire needs were.
I have a 2009 Toyota Matrix,
mm-hmm.
which one of the car magazines says is ho-hum reliable.
Oh, really?
Yeah, which is okay by me.
And how have you found the reliability?
Good. It's good.
What the hell does ho-hum reliable mean?
I think it means that I've read in other places that people think it's not fun to drive, it's not a fun car. I don't know. It's okay. I think it's okay. And so I had to get new tires, because we go through tires, you know, a set of tires every year and a half or so. Because I drive, have like an 80 mile per day commute.
Oh, really?
Yeah, 40 miles each way. And got some new tires, and the choice was between performance tires or mile tires.
Yes. So describe the difference between how what does this mean, performance versus miles?
I only learned this recently because I just went through it, but if you get a tire that is made for its ability to last a long time, then the tire is made out of harder rubber.
Right.
And if you get a tire that is made for its ability to perform, then it's softer rubber.
Right.
But you, whatever one you get, you sacrifice the other.
So a hard tire is going to last longer. A softer tire is going to run for less miles.
That's what they told me.
Okay.
And so I got a tire that is rated for 35,000 miles.
And so now, and what was that? How did that cost across the range? Was it a more expensive tire or a less expensive tire?
Than what?
Than the other one that you would have gone for. So you got a harder tire.
I think it was less.
Yeah. Okay.
I think it was less. They said, you know, they said if I wanted to get a tire that would last for longer miles, I would have to pay more money.
Oh. Okay.
And he said something also about the height of the tire.
Oh, yes.
The height, you know, from the rim to the edge of the tire over time has been getting lower. Does that make sense?
Yes, yeah, sure.
So the tires are not as thick. And that means, I don't know, what does that mean? Does that mean that the rubber is softer?
Well, I don't know. This is sounding a little odd. So he's saying, well, as generations come along, the tires on our cars, the cars that we're buying, the tires are getting, the wheels are getting bigger, but the tire is getting more low profile. So
right.
you have a bigger rim with a skinnier tire or a shorter tire.
Right.
But I don't see how the correlation is between a shorter tire won't last as long. It should last as long as any tire.
Okay, well, maybe it does. Maybe I'm not remembering right. But
sure.
Yeah. But, you know, when we were, with Daniel and I were driving today towards our birding destination, he asked me a question, which I thought would be a good question for you. And that is, can you put, performance tires on the front and mileage tires on the back, or vice versa? Or do you have to have them all the same?
Well, you could, but I wouldn't really advise it. You should have similar tires all the way around your vehicle, because the one set of tires is going to perform differently than the other, and you might find that your vehicle becomes that it rides differently, or the controllability of the vehicle is a bit weird. Like the mm-hmm. back end might be more loosey-goosey than the front end is. You know what I mean? So
yep.
So I mean, you can do it in if you want to have a little experiment, you could do it, but I'm not sure what the benefit would be either.
Okay.
Because you're not going to, I mean, you might have, well, I can see the benefit. Like for a person like me, I've got really super good tires on the front end of my sports car and lesser tires on the back end. But that's because I want my front end to stick better than the back end. You know, I'm.
Honey, don't we all?
Why do you want that?
Because there's a lot of weight on the front end of this car. The engine is up there. The tires that we're on, this car is susceptible to a lot of understeer. We spoke about understeer a couple episodes ago. Understeer is where you turn the car and it doesn't go around that corner. But with my really good tires, my understeer is essentially gone now. I don't have an understeer problem. The car will go anywhere that I point it. And so now on the back are the more loose tires, and my back end is now much more likely to slide out on me than the front end was in the past.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I like that because sliding around corners sideways is more fun, right?
That boy loves his car.
So, okay, so you opted for the harder tire. Do you find that your car, that it's noisier? Do you find you hear a lot of tire noise now when you're driving, or do you not notice anything?
Well, I don't notice a difference because they're essentially the same tires that had last time.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Because this is a concern. If you're getting tires, if you're buying a hard tire, the likely, you know, a tire that's going to last a long number of miles, the likelihood is that, being that it's a hard tire, it's made out of a harder compound, and it's going to be, it'll very likely be a noisier tire. And you may get that noise coming back into the cabin when you're driving down the road, right?
Yeah, that's interesting. So how many miles would you consider to be
the life of a tire?
Like a hard tire.
Yeah, I'm not really a tire expert. I was surprised that my tires lasted me 35,000 miles. I wouldn't think they would have gone that long, but I think, you know, but that's a performance tire. That's a high performance tire that I'm talking about. I think you should be able to get 40 or 50,000 miles out of a tire, just from my past experience, I think. But I don't know. I could be wrong. That's just a feeling. I have no empirical evidence.
The difference between this current set of tires and the previous set is 5,000 miles. The previous set was rated at 40,000, and this set is rated at 35,000, and they just continued the previous model, but otherwise essentially the same. So.
Well, I think 35,000 miles is pretty good. I would hope that most tires would last that long. Okay, well, let me talk about what happened at track day. Now, so I went to track day, and
does this involve horses, ponies, or cars?
This is all cars. This is where me and a bunch of other lunatics go to a racetrack with our cars, and you pay your money and they let you drive your car around the racetrack as fast as you possibly can, you know, without wrecking anything, right?
Hey, Faye, I have a question. Did you have to sign a waiver?
Absolutely. As soon as you drive onto the lot, your car insurance is null and void. So anything that happens out there, you know, you've got to fix yourself. You have no insurance coverage whatsoever. And yes, you have to sign a waiver that you're aware that you could be hurt, you could die, or you could kill someone else, and it's all your fault, and we're going to sue you if you do any of the above, right?
All right.
So being fully aware of my rights and responsibilities, I get out there. Now, let me tell you guys that there were some amazing cars here. There were four groups of cars that we would all run in a group, right? And each group had about 20 cars in it. And they attempted to put similar cars in to similar groups, right? So one group was all the Ferraris and some Porsches and all these extremely high-end cars, some like $200,000-$300,000 cars driving around on this track. Very impressive, right? There was another group which was only Porsche 911s, okay? Just 911s, nothing else. And then there was my group, which was all the yahoos in our, you know, our Honda Civics that were all tricked out and Subaru, you know, the Evo 10s and all those kinds of the cars. So some of these guys, they have some serious money invested in their cars. These guys are maniacs. I'm saying maniacs. You know, they've got these cars with suspensions that are all tricked out and racing tires. They pull up in trucks with trailers and they back their, you know, two Honda Civics with roll cages in them, and you know, they roll out the rack of tires, and like, these guys are spending a lot of effort on doing this track thing, right? And then there's me and a few of us other guys who were just driving our daily drivers, right? My car is a plain old stock Chrysler Crossfire. It's got nothing special in it other than a couple of expensive tires. We're going out racing on this track. Now, I have to admit, I was a little bit dejected after track day. For one, it was a difficult day. It was very, very wet. That was pouring down rain for most of the day. And so being out on the track, it was quite tricky. It was a very difficult day of driving because you couldn't accelerate a lot because you're always spinning in the rain, and the rain and the water was just a real serious factor in the whole day. So it kind of impacted everybody's ability to drive the way they had wished to, right? But the other thing that occurred to me is I sort of got the idea of what a ridiculous sport this is that I'm involved in. Here we are, these guys driving like maniacs around this racetrack. I was passed several times. These guys in these little Honda Civics, they're just whizzing by me because they're driving their cars to the absolute limits as hard as they possibly can. And as much as I understand why those guys want to do that, because I enjoy doing the same thing. At the same time, they're really working their cars hard, and I was doing the same thing. I was driving really hard at the beginning of the day and trying to be as fast as I could and braking at the very last minute and braking really hard and shifting hard, and I was just wringing my car out. And then I was thinking, boy, this, you know, it's hard on the vehicle. You're really stressing the vehicle a lot by doing that, driving that way. And I'm thinking, you know, I don't want to drive my car into the ground like these other guys who are passing me, and they're pissed off at me because, you know, I'm not going as fast, or I'm not slamming on the brakes as hard as I could because, like, the way they would like to do it. So these guys are passing me, and I don't know. It was an odd experience for me.
What were the top speeds?
Well, there was only one good straight stretch, and you could possibly get up to maybe 70. I mean, I think I might have hit 70 or 75 miles an hour on the straight stretch before I would have to brake.
What the hell? You could do better than that on Interstate 85. What the?
Sure, but the thing is, the whole exercise is to learn how to negotiate the corners, right? And get around the corners as fast as you can. So, and it's actually quite interesting. If you're in the car, there's a whole bunch of technique to maneuvering your car around the corner as fast as you can and still keep it under control, right?
Yeah, you've talked about that before on your show.
Yeah, so it was a really good experience. I enjoyed the opportunity to get out and learn my car and learn how to follow the line. We always talk about lines in racing, which is where do you point your car to get it around the corner and stuff like that. So
is that kind of like you bank high and you come down low kind of stuff?
Yeah, exactly. When you see a corner coming up, you have to plan at where on the lane, what side of the lane do you want your car to be when you enter this corner?
Sure.
And where are you going to carve through the corner? And where are you going to exit the corner, right? And some corners, you have to plan two or three corners in advance, because if you don't hit the third corner over on, you know, the left side of the track, it's going to screw you up when you hit the next corner because you should have been over here before you hit this corner and all that kind of thing. So it's really quite involved. There's a lot of technicality about it. So and that's part of the enjoyment for me.
Wow.
But I did realize what an idiot, you know, I'm really conflicted. I have to say I'm extremely conflicted about, you know, my whole life here, because I really enjoy being able to drive these cars, but I also recognize that, you know, it's an awfully idiotic thing to be putting other people at risk, the public at risk, and driving the way that we do. And I don't know, I concern myself about it.
You're not putting the public at risk at the racetrack, though.
You're not. But by the same token, I don't always drive the speed limit either. Right?
Yeah, nobody does. Or maybe somebody does.
Right.
Maybe you should move to Vegas where they have all those open roads where you could just, you know, hammer down.
Yeah. Perhaps. Anyway, I don't know. So track day was fun. And it was a good a bit of an epiphany for me. Well, I don't know, guys. Does anybody have any other questions? Anything we should discuss?
Well, Toppy wrote in with a question. Did you want to go into that?
Actually, I do want to address Toppy's question because it might be a problem for him. I know he's in the chat room.
Yeah.
Toppy, do you want to? Can I call you quickly? Do you want to ask your battery question? Let us know in the chat room. I'll give you a quick call. Actually, while he's doing that, Mark, do you want to read out his question?
Sure. okay. Toppy has written in about a battery question, and he says, for longer than a month now, when I go out to start my car in the early morning to go to work, there will be a few seconds delay from the time I turn the ignition on and when the engine will actually turn over and the car starts. There's no clicking or any other sound. I turn the key and nothing. Then 1 to 2 seconds later, the car starts. So basically, he is saying, why is this happening? It's only happening in the morning. He'll drive to work. He'll have an uneventful commute. He'll come out at the end of his shift, and the car starts up just fine. So what's going on?
What the heck is going on? Well, let's get Toppy on the call here. He says he's going to get his Skype going. So I'll just give him a minute to, here he comes, Toppy. I'm going to call you now. We'll get you involved here. Hello, Mr. Toppy Smelly.
Hello there.
Well, hi. How are you?
I'm good. This is so wonderful.
Hey, Toppy.
John. Hi, John.
How are you?
Oh,
this is just a big love fest. Hi, Toppy.
Oh, Mark. Hi. Well, I can't help it. All right. Now, look, folks. You know, I thought this was a winter problem. But just this morning, there was that delay, and we don't have cold. So what's going on?
Yeah, you may not actually have a dying battery, although 5 or 6 years for a battery is about the maximum lifespan of a battery. So if your battery's not going to die now, it's going to die soon. So.
Okay, but, so this is telling me I gotta get a new battery.
Well, no, because it's not really exhibiting dying battery problems. I think you actually have a connection problem because it's intermittent, because sometimes it works fine, right? And sometimes...
No, that's exactly true. I mean, this morning was the first time it had that little delay in quite a few weeks.
And was it cold this morning?
No, not particularly.
Okay, so what I think is happening, this is a contributing factor, probably, is you have a connection problem from your battery to the battery cables, or wherever the cables connect. But more than likely, what has happened is you've probably got some corrosion around the battery posts and the battery cable. The cable connects on to the post.
That white stuff,
yes. And this is...
Oh, God damn it.
This is not difficult to fix, Toppy. It's an easy, easy fix.
Oh, I like that.
All you need to do, you'll need a tool that will fit the nut that holds your...
Oh, Jesus. Yeah! All right, keep going, Faye.
You'll need a tool that fits the nut that locks down your battery cable to the battery post. You need to remove...
Yeah, Tappy to do it. She's a man.
Yeah. John, stop that. No, don't pay any attention to him. All right, now keep going, Faye.
You should take the best thing would be for you to take the battery cable off the post and to clean that post and the cable up. If you have a wire brush, that's the best thing you should do. If you don't have a wire brush, use a solution of baking soda and water, and you can just leave it on there for a little while and then wipe it off with a rag. Vinegar and baking soda, says Laughing Buddha. Thank you, Laughing Buddha. Anyway, you just need to clean those connections up and then put the cables back on, and it should work fine.
All right.
Can I offer a different scenario?
A different theory?
A different theory of the problem, actually?
Absolutely. Go ahead.
For 3 years, I replaced the battery every 7 months, and I just kept thinking I was getting bum batteries, and I finally got to a reputable mechanic who said, "No, you've got an issue with your ignition switch inside the column."
Oh.
And sure enough, there was some faulty mechanism inside the ignition switch, and it's been fine since.
Well, I'll tell you what. You may have a point, Mr. George in Atlanta. Here's how you... You know, the other thing... Okay.
I did not have white stuff on my battery. That would be the first clue, Toppy.
Yeah, and you know what? I have. And I have brushed it off casually. You know, like, it was like dandruff in my hair. I've sort of brushed off casually. Maybe I should, maybe in a more urgent, significant way, brush that stuff off. Because it drains. It drains power, I guess, right?
Well, no, it's not allowing your battery to connect to the rest of the ignition system properly. The corrosion is making the connection be deteriorated. And this is why sometimes it works fine, because the connection is good enough to let you start your car, and sometimes the connection is not, and you're getting nothing out of the when you turn the key. You're getting dead air, right?
So it's true.
And just let me clarify, when this occurs, when the car won't start, when you turn your key, does nothing light up in the dash? Do you get any lights to come on?
Well, it eventually always has started, but let me think now. Do I get the lights? I think I do, but there's no click. There's no turnover of the engine. There's no sound whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
And I keep kind of fiddling with the key, and I always think, gee, I'm not pushing down on the, you know, the clutch. Maybe that's the press. So I push down harder. But anyways, when I jiggle it around and all that, it's always started.
Okay, now, well, that could be a different problem. That could be, you might have, as you said, the clutch lockout, because your car won't start if you don't push the clutch down. So there's a switch that gets tripped when you push the clutch down all the way that tells the car, okay, it's safe to start. So there could be a problem with that switch.
Uh-huh.
So... That may be another. You may have a second issue there too. Okay. But all of these things are working against you. In any case, your battery is near the end of its life.
Oh,
so
God!
Be prepared for that. You can't go wrong by cleaning your battery post and cables.
All right, now that's something I can do tomorrow morning.
And then, if this persists, then just do a little bit of testing, like hold the key in the start position, but then push your clutch foot in and out, in and out, in and out, and see if that's a contributing factor.
All right.
If Toppy, if that doesn't work, just drop 2 aspirin in the gas tank.
Now what? Now you know I've heard of things.
Call
like
me in
this.
The morning.
Yeah. I don't know.
And put a banana in your tailpipe.
No, that sounds nice, Mark. I like that. All right, I'll try that.
Just seem to be too open to that suggestion. I don't know.
Well, it sounds very festive. I don't know.
A little fruit?
You know, there you go.
Anyway, before this show gets off too much farther off the tracks, hey, Ranger John, are you going to New York to meet up with the clan that are going there too? Kenty and Mark and possibly Toppy?
No, I'm not.
Oh, you haven't been invited. Okay.
I wasn't invited. I was disinvited.
All right. Well, let me remove my foot from my mouth.
Yeah, are you gonna go?
Me?
Yeah.
No, I'm not going to New York.
No, I'm probably not either, Chuck. Well, never mind. I probably won't make it.
Well, Toppy, you were supposed to come to Rockport, too.
I know it! Oh, Jesus! Oh, God. I know.
Well, okay, guys, let me finish out the show here. I'll just end the Pink Wheel Nuts Garage show. And thank all of my guest hosts for coming to stop by here in the Pink Wheel Nuts Garage. Everybody just don't hang up and stay on the call here when I end the show, and we'll chat a little bit more, and the people in the chat room can hang around. But
there's an after show, folks.
But before we
really let our hair down.
Before we go, let me let each of you plug your little shows. George, would you like to start?
Sure. Find me at georgeinatlanta.com or Sunday nights right here on pride48.com with Gay Country Wes.
Right. Excellent. Ranger John?
The Dark Forest. Let's see. Where am I? dfranger.blogspot.com.
North or south, folks. You'll find them there.
That's right.
And Mark?
You can find me on iTunes as part of the Scooter Diaries. You can also find me on Audioboo of the same name. And you can find me on Twitter at Laughing Buddha. We'll see you around the internets.
Yeah, Mark, I just got to tell you, forewarn you, you're up next on portraying Jose, okay?
So send me the script, baby. Okay. I am so there.
All right.
And Toppy?
TheSmellCast.com. Thanks, Faye.
And I am the Faye Driver. You're listening to the Pink Wheel Nuts Garage. Thank you for joining me. You can find me at pinkwheelnuts.com.
What are all those animals doing in there?
I know. What are the goats doing in the garage?
I don't know.
They're cleaning their posts.
Here come the tappers.